Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, hello and welcome to a special episode of the Ramon Foster Show, the 200th episode. Ramon, 200.
That's huge, man.
Fireworks and balloons and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's the reggae horns right there. That's awesome, man.
Vuvuzelas.
Yeah. Yeah, look at us, man, doing a thing. Consistency, man.
It's all about consistency.
It is. And every mile mark, I feel milestone, I guess I just got to say thank you, consumers of us on all platforms, YouTube, Twitch, Apple, Spotify, whoever you're streaming us with. Thank you guys, man. Seriously. Right, yeah, before the holiday season. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome for sure. It's funny. It just seems like yesterday we were talking about doing this. Like, we should do this. We should do this.
Yeah.
And then it's like, here we are with 200 episodes. We're routinely getting five figures into the audience, and we look at the numbers. We don't share these with everybody, but we look at the numbers and we're like, yeah, look at us. Oh yeah, well, look how Wednesday show did.
And it's all to you guys, because it's clear our reach is word of mouth. It's friend to a friend telling them, hey, you should listen to, because there's so many people that don't know. I got friggin' 100,000 followers on Instagram and I think 80 something on Twitter. It's just like, I didn't know you had a show. Well, now here's the link to it. Go check it out. So thank y'all for passing the word along about this. And just huge, DK. I remember we've recorded everywhere too. In cars, Sprinter vans, offices, not ours.
Different countries, different.
Across the country, time zones. Yeah, we're everywhere with this.
Whatever it takes, right? You sitting in a, you were in some rental car somewhere outside some facility, and your camera is showing the roof of your car.
Before doctor's appointment, you got the Ramon Mobile, also the Sprinter van, and I've been at the beach recording. I've been doctor's appointment recording. Been everywhere.
It's been fun. Absolutely. No question about that here. Let's talk a little bit of football. In advance of the game that the Steelers have next Monday against the Colts, the topic remained today at Mike Tomlin's press conference to an extent. A comment that was made by Jermaine Pratt, a linebacker for the Bengals, who said, and I'm going to quote him directly, of the Steelers' predictability on offense. He said, "We knew what they were going to do. They like to do the same plays over and over." Ow.
Yeah.
Ow.
So that can be taken two different ways. One way of it is, well, man, whenever we figured out we could beat them man to a man, those same plays that they were running, we were stuffing. We knew exactly where it was going. It's not creative enough. It's not good enough for what they are as a team right now. They're a bunch of young guys that's super simple in their approach to playing football. That's, I guess, in a sense, not a good look, but that's also the necessary approach. How complex can you get right now with the amount of guys that they have on this team? A rookie quarterback, rookie number one wide receiver, Deontay finding his way, just traded away a guy. Pat Freiermuth's got to find ways for him. It's got to be simple. The other part of it is, I've been in situations where and I've said this in a braggadocious type of way. It's, we're coming right here. We're about to run the same play. Stop it. But
I remember that one. That happened to be against the Bengals.
It was against the Bengals. It's one of those things. Like, everybody to a T has something on the other team. We've been speaking about it on social media. I'm not sure if y'all saw me tweet about it. But Trent Williams, people saying, well, his stance tips away whether it's pass or whether it's run. So, stop it. You know what I'm saying? Can you stop him? Not many people can. It's so interesting how the pendulum swings from one side to the other. Here's a guy from Cincinnati telling us we knew exactly what they were doing. And the reason he's able to say that is, one, because he beat you. Two, because you're not experienced enough to actually do many other things away from what you did. You go back 5 years from now, DK. Let's go back 5 years. We're telling them, hey, you young guy, the ball's coming right here. Stop it. You see how it works?
That's it. Yeah. This is how my favorite part of this response that you're giving here is that I know for a fact that you don't know yet what Mike Tomlin's response was. But just to prove to people that you were his player for 11 years.
I hadn't heard it.
You hadn't heard it. Now here, this is Tomlin's actual response when this came up at the press conference today. I'm reading verbatim. That's what they say when they're having success, and you don't hear them say it when they don't. There were concepts they used that were predictable. That's football. That's it. It's like you were there with him or something for a decade and change.
I swear to y'all, if you're listening to me on a podcast, you should see my reaction. My hands are up over my mouth, face laughing right now.
Yeah.
Because that's the game.
That's it.
There is no new tricks to this. We overcomplicate it sometime. And then when it comes to stuff like this, this is what happens when you're successful, when you beat them. DK, I swear to you, okay, our producer David's behind the glass right now. I'm going to use a graphic right now and let you know. I'm lining up next to Marcus Gilbert when I was on the right side, or Alejandro. Al hated when I did this. And Al be like, Mo, what you doing that for? And I'll be like, hey, because they can't stop it. And I tell him, hey, you, listen to me. The ball's coming right here. It's either right here in the A-gap or that A-gap, and I dare you to stop it. I was a supreme trash talker, okay? Why? Why? Because when you do what you want when you're popping, okay? When you're good, you can tell the defense, watch this next move I got for you. And on the other side of that, I'm listening to them in a comical way saying to myself, oh, you glad we're not playing right now, okay? Like that.
Oh, man.
When you win, you can say this. And then
you
guess
can
what?
Say anything.
They've already played the second game against the Steelers. They don't have to see the Steelers again. Because of that, that'll be bulletin board material next year. But as of this one right now, oh, they're good. They got, what, like 6 games left in the season? They ain't got to worry about the Steelers. Say what you want to. You won. You're king of the hill.
Well,
God,
they might
you got me fired up right now,
I
DK.
I see that, because that's also, it's to the winner goes the spoils. It's all this is, okay? There are, as Tomlin said, there are things that I'm positive he's correct about this, that the Bengals were doing that they all knew. They all knew what was coming.
It sounds,
especially when you couple it with how much everybody, rightly so, is down on Matt Canada, that it sounds like, whoa, the Bengals have seen something. They've exposed something. No, they haven't.
In his defense, absolutely not. Let's go to T. Higgins, okay, against Arthur Marlette. That's something that we knew as a defense, that Arthur Marlette couldn't hang with him, and Cincinnati knew as an offense, we're going to go with that guy. It happens. We had a thing in our locker room, in our offensive team meeting room. You know what would happen on the big board, DK? Here's our candy bar.
Candy,
you know why we call
them
the
term.
Candy bar?
It was actually that, for people who think Ramon's joking, that the player was referred to as the candy bar.
As the candy bar. And guess what everybody does with the candy bar? We want a bite out of him. That's where we're going. He's our duck, okay? And everybody, when he says quack, you go get him. That's the duck that quacks. We're going to get him. This ain't chess. It's more like checkers when it comes down to it. God, I hate that he's talking like that now.
Oh, man. It took us 200 episodes to come up with the best segment ever of the Ramon Foster Show. When we come back, more football. Welcome back to the Ramon Foster Show. Since he's already all revved up on this 200th episode, and it seems to be aimed at Southeastern Ohio at the moment.
I drive through there often.
Let's talk about the Bengals and the Bengals not being really at all what they were last season when they got on that big roll. Because you just said this in between breaks here. You're like, that game wasn't exactly some kind of blowout or whatever. And the Steelers didn't play well.
No.
And there it was. It was 37-30, and the Steelers were right there in the fourth quarter. Look, I'm not suggesting these teams are at the same level, but I'm also not going to suggest that they're miles apart here for anybody to be talking any kind of trash.
Exactly. Here's a guy that's talking trash about a team that they lost to open a game with a season. Here's a guy whose team also lost to the friggin' Cleveland Browns. Okay.
They got steamrolled.
Let's be real about that. Got steamrolled by them in a bad fashion. Nick Chubb's your dad this year. Okay.
Nick Chubb's everybody's dad.
Yeah, this is true too, but let me drill home my point. Okay. No, what I'm saying is this isn't a situation in which, like, they just completely just boat raced us. No, I'm not into that. I'm into speaking it as it is. And as it stands right now, we split games in a division. But this is why, of course, AFC North ball matters a whole lot more, too. This is why Coach Tomlin walks into that room and says, man, I don't have to say much. AFC North ball. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the way it works when you're playing in this league. And I'll say this too. This is why there's always an emphasis on winning your division. Like, you get an opportunity to put on the shirts, grab the hat, and say, we'll see y'all next year, you chumps. That's what he basically just did.
Are they even the class of the division, or is it Baltimore?
It's Baltimore right now. They hold a wild card spot right now. But that may be, what is that, 6 or 7 seed at this point?
You can't count on wild card spots. Yeah.
No.
But I mean, it's so funny. At the beginning of the season and all through the summer that it was just presumed that, the Bengals were just in the Super Bowl. Of course they're going to be the class of the division. And you were among the many saying at the time, yeah, you were going like, no.
Yeah.
No.
But, and you know why? Everybody has your code now. You have the target. It's okay sneaking from behind to grab everybody, but right now you're not sneaking up on anybody, and that offensive line going to hurt you in the end. If we're being honest here, Cincy, like, you guys got issues. You are the second-ranked most sacked team in the league. You're tied for second behind Chicago, and we see what their situation is right now. This is nothing to brag about. You guys' defense had a team that's been sputtering all year long. Put up 30 on you. Let's be real about this. This is the game in which I'm not a huge fan of anybody in the AFC North. I respect the heck out of Baltimore, but on this thankful week as we hit 200 episodes, DK, no. Eventually the pendulum swings. You guys have to see us at some point again, especially with this franchise quarterback. Pratt's a young guy in this league, and all this does is you become the duck for next year. And the year after that, because you become a chatty patty at this point. You better make sure you get re-signed in an extended contract, because he's a third-round pick, if I'm not mistaken. Your deal is up soon. Will Cincy actually keep you?
Yeah, the second contract and everything will be the one that tells all. You
this
would
is
think
a side they don't need to see of me, DK. They don't
I'm
need
perfectly
that.
Fine with everyone seeing this side. Because I see it in here, and actually I've seen it and heard it over the years, and I would get it in heat of the moment, which was that much better, because you were just off the field. You were like...
See, they see the smile and everything. It's like, oh, Moan's a nice guy. No.
One of these days, we're gonna ask David to put together a montage of some of Moan's meanest plays.
You know what?
Brutal stuff, man.
Speaking of which, my brother's on the radio here in Nashville too, and he was asking me. He was like, because he's heard Marquise and Dave them speak about, like, my pregame speeches and stuff like that. And once I took the helmet off, I kind of got away from it, right? And Ron, my brother, was like, hey, Mo, take them underneath the helmet for a little bit, man. They got a nice rival coming up. They need to, you know, hear what it's like. Because he's heard Pouncey tell him, man, Moan different with the pregame speech. And so on the radio show here, I kind of went in a little bit. It was real clean. There's no profanity and nothing. And he said, after I got off the air with him, I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't know Ramon was like that.
Yeah. Like,
there is a switch, okay? DK seen that switch.
I have. Before we go to break here, I have to ask, since you just brought it up, who is it that determines within the positional group who does the pregame speech? Because I'm picturing in particular Ryan Shazier and doing everything. Like, does Shazier just say one day, hey, listen, guys, I'm doing the who ride. You understand this?
Yeah.
Okay. How does that get sorted out?
It's usually like the secondary leader, like me. That's kind of how I kind of like Willie Colon. Nobody ever looked at Willie as the guy, right?
I did.
You damn right I did. But in that locker room, though, like everybody knew, oh, there, Willie walks. Willie talks it. Willie shows it. And you got to be a guy that's able to prove it on the field, plays, and have the respect of your teammates, not just on the field, but off the field, but in the weight room also. Whatever you say, you back that up. And you also got to be a guy that's being capable of communicating. Like that fire, like that. Most of the time, you don't have to say it. They see it in you. But when you speak, oh, I'm talking about chills when it comes down to it. Shazier, of course, Joey Porter being that guy like that. Vince Williams being that guy like that.
But even Vince deferred to Shazier.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it has to kind of just, you can't force these types of things. You know, like it's got to be 100. Like you can never see Dave. You could never really see Pounce. Pounce gonna give you five sentences and then he's out. Five words and then he's out. Like me, true. I'm trying to grab like that depth of your soul of darkness and be like, look, this ain't war, but it's close to it. And, oh man, I might have to do that one day, DK.
This is great. We should just have a whole episode where you just bring us all into the huddle.
Yeah, man. Cam's decent at it. And yeah, you can say he's decent. He wasn't the greatest at the speeches like that because you see Cam in his work. It exalts that
way. I was just going to say Cam spends all his energy doing the actual stuff.
Yeah, fighting offensive linemen on the field. That's where he spends his time at. TJ, you ain't going to get much out of him, but you see him in the back jacked up when the speech is going on. Le'Veon was never a guy. AB never talking. Ben was a quiet, stern type of conversation, go get her. It even gets to the point to where being, hey, Mon, let's go. Let's get us. Like, it was, you got to be that guy, though, too.
You can't force it. That's the other thing is there's people who, I've seen in professional sports, and this goes across the board, who want to show and exhibit that they're, it's either there or it isn't. And it gets filtered out so fast, doesn't it?
What? That's what I'm just going to say. And you can tell, too, because the teammates – The guy to get pushed to the front that the teammates kind of side-eye a little bit, like, all right, let's get this over with real quick.
Hey, dude, who ride? Yeah, we ride, dude. We get it. All right, we got you. When we come back, the only segment that matters, it's the Hey Moan segment. Hey, it's brought to you by GetGo Cafe and Market, where quality is at the core of every menu item. Three expert chefs fine-tune every detail so that every sub, burger, salad, wrap, drink, and app is crafted for craveability. Along the path to these 200 episodes, Moan, we're grateful for GetGo for having our back throughout these shows. And when we come back, going to be a special guest here at the KPS headquarters downtown. BJ from Missouri, a longtime subscriber to our site, is going to handle that segment.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hey, Moan, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing great today, and I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving week. And congratulations on the 200th episode, man.
Yeah. I'm excited about that. It seemed like it went by super fast. But you know what? This has been a good journey. I appreciate you guys tuning in to us. I'm more than appreciative. I can't say that enough. So thank you.
Well, thank you for all that y'all do to keep us informed and keep us entertained. Y'all are great.
Thank you. Thank you. Absolutely.
Well, today I ask, hey, Mom. Out of all the coaches that you've had over your career, what qualities did you most admire in some of your coaches that made a difference in your life?
Ooh, all right. I'll give you all four levels. All three levels. I said four levels. Okay. High school, my head coach, Coach Mac Adams. And I'll tell you what makes all three of them special too. Coach Mac Adams. In college, Coach Philip Fulmer. And in the NFL, Coach Tomlin and Coach Munch. All four of those guys to a T were honest, hard workers, and just upfront about all things necessary to be successful. My high school coach, I had no idea what college was, what I needed to do to get to college, how I needed to play. He showed me different things that I don't think a lot of coaches – well, I'll say this. He showed me a lot of things as far as – the approach to being a young adult that I know some kids didn't have when I went to college. he was, I'm talking about, super important to all things that it was necessary for me to be successful in college. That was my platform. When I got to college, Coach Former, same thing. Tough guy, but fair. You know what I'm saying? As far as the approach to not only coaching somebody, but teaching them how to be a man, teaching them, you know, if there's something bad going on, this is what happens here. If the good things is what's, that's the standard. There's no other way around. That's one thing that I got in the NFL that Coach T really just showed us. Look, there's a standard to everything that you do. That little cliche saying that he has, the standard is a standard. All of these coaches that I speak of had that without actually saying it. You know, Coach Former is an old school type of mentality guy. Coach Former was at the University of Tennessee. That was him. Can be loving, but stern. All those things match up. And getting to the NFL, man, understanding and what Coach Tomlin is, what it takes to actually lead men. And the same can be said about Coach Munch. Understanding that, look, I'm different from that guy over there, and his, you know, guy next to him is different from him, and everybody's individual. But you operate it in the sense of being a man. It's, hey, long as you do your job, I can leave you alone. You will be okay. There will be certain checks and balances to everything that you do to make sure that my plan and your plan are all the same. But between Coach Munch and between Coach Tomlin, the idea that we can be adults, we can challenge each other, you can be right, I can be right, and we'll find the common ground and everything, that's been my relationship with those fellas right there. To whereas the business side of sports was easier to digest with those two guys and individual, because guys don't know what they're getting themselves into. You inherit so much when you come into the NFL. Do you know what I'm saying? And just having guidance outside of the game, meaning man to man, was so huge for me. All common things with them, fair but stern. Work precedes anything else when it comes down to the craft. The understanding that it's not just you in the battle. It's everybody else around you that's in the battle with you. And your deficiencies don't make your career or don't break your career. You just got to find ways to hide them. Munch, I'm talking about, took that to the next level with me. My athletic ability wasn't like Marquise's, right? But my attributes on the team, Marquise didn't have. You know what I'm saying? Dave was the all-pro, Pro Bowl guard. Beautiful. Loved it. But there were certain things that I had that he didn't. It was some things that he had I couldn't touch. And that's the way we approach that, man. And I think the right coach doesn't just have a cookie cutter system for every, you know, for the entire team. It's about balance and finding what's right for the overall team as far as just how you approach it, man. I can't say enough good things about those individuals. And those four dudes that I brought up to a T probably went to the same school of how to be a coach. You know what I'm saying? That some guys just yell and just fuss at you. That's not them. There's lessons in everything.
Now, there's a follow-up question I have.
Okay.
So when are you going to start coaching in the NFL, brother?
I see that one in the comments all the time. I know this about culture. It is a hard task, okay, to really break down and get guys to do what you want them to do. That's the thing. Like, that's the one thing about coaching. Like, when you got it, I'll leave you alone, right? That's how coaches are. But if I can't get you to do what I need you to do, some coaches grow frustrated, which is where the bad coaching come in at, because that's what you're supposed to be able to do as a coach. Some coaches quit on you, and some coaches find ways. Me, I probably get too frustrated. I know that for a fact. Mentorship is something I'd be more into than coaching. Or if I was the, I guess you call, player liaison to understanding what life is in the NFL, player development, I'm there. But y'all wouldn't like me as a coach, man. Well, I'd be so crazy.
You know, that's how Jeff Saturday started, brother.
Yeah. Look, y'all got to get a petition going to get me in front of Mr. Rooney. That's all we need, hey, I swear.
Man. I'm in your corner, man. I love you, man.
I appreciate
you're awesome.
It.
You're awesome.
I thank you guys. And happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy this family. Get full. And maybe we have a friggin' good weekend, right?
Praise the Lord.
God. We shouldn't let teams make or break us like this. That's the problem.
That's right. We got to get past this and look for the silver lining, right?
That's where I'm at. I'm more optimistic than I am anything simply because I know how hard the game is, right? I'm more patient even throughout this year with this current Steeler team. But I also say to myself, it's development. That's where we're at right now. And I'm more patient. That's just where I'm at, even from afar.
Sounds like a good coach to me, man.
See, look at you. I know I got one. That's all I need is one. I appreciate your time. And that was an awesome Hey Mom, too.